Okay, this is the National Finance Committee meeting. Casey Adelson, the chair pro tem. We're convening it. Casey McFaul is the treasurer. Casey, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. David Adelson?
Here.
Adelson's here. Allen?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Here. Baruti Bediako?
Here.
Here. Patty Heffley? Heffley absent. Casey McFaul is here. Mark Roberts? Mark Roberts absent. Marnie Tattersall?
Here.
Tattersall's here. Jane Gatewood? Jane Gatewood's absent. Sandy Weinman? Sandy Weinman absent. LaVarne Williams? Here. Williams is here. Lonnie Hicks? Lonnie Hicks is absent.
No, he's here.
He's here. He's here.
Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Lonnie.
No.
Okay.
And have we had a couple join us since the roll started?
Patty Heffley.
Okay, Patty's here.
And there was another beep. Is anybody else here? Okay, and we're also joined by our acting executive director, Ambrose Lane. Okay, I sent around a proposed agenda, which included the roll call and approval of the agenda, approval of minutes, three of them, which were sent by Casey to the committee recently, the CFO report and review of May financials, and reports from working groups, scheduling of the next meeting, and adjournment. After I sent that around, I received requests for several items. Baruti would like to discuss the CPB contingency plan, i.e., if CPB funds are cut, are we prepared with what we're going to do? Marnie asked for a report on the director's inspection of financial records. And Mark wrote and asked for discussion of staffing and impact on the FY06 budget and for election of a permanent chair. And I wanted to add that we didn't have in that agenda anything about the status of the FY06 budget, although I'm sure it'll get addressed somewhat in the financials and CFO report. I'm feeling like we have a very large number of things we need to deal with, and we probably need to start meeting biweekly again to deal with them all. And maybe the issues on the FY06 budget, we would convene a meeting in the near future where we focused exclusively on FY06 issues, including staffing. But that's just one idea. So I'd like to go down them one at a time and just get people's sense of whether they'd like these placed on today's agenda or any other comments about the agenda. First of all, is there a motion to approve the proposed draft agenda before we do that?
You mean with the additional things you just said?
No, just before we do it, just as a matter of protocol, there should be a motion to approve the draft agenda, and then we can amend it.
Oh, so you mean like we move to approve the agenda, and then we say no, we don't approve it, so that we can add things to it?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay, great. So
Patty?
It's on the table now. In terms of amendments, who would like to speak for the individual amendments?
I can speak to mine.
Go ahead.
We in our finance committee, in discussions about the 0506 budget, oh, I'm sorry, this is Baruti. In our finance committee in BAI, we started discussing discussing the budget for 0506. We felt that we need to take into consideration all of the controversy, for lack of a better word, around the CPB funding and what impact it might have on the station. So it was suggested that I bring it back to the NFC, that we sort of lay out, instead of us doing it one way and another station doing it another way, we had some suggestions, or at least I had some suggestions. It was felt that maybe the committee would kind of put together some guidelines for all of the stations to follow in terms of dealing with the uncertainty as to what impact is going to be in terms of a cut in, a potential cut in CTD funding.
Given, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff in the report today that's going to impact that. And I do think we're going to need another meeting shortly to deal with FY06 budget issues. If we did that in the next couple of weeks, would that be okay to bundle that into a larger discussion of FY06 and deal with it in that meeting, or do you think we should start here?
Well, my only concern is that, I was going to bring it up at some point today, is that if we're still working on that August 15th deadline,
Oh, okay.
That you know, we would need to, and if we think this is a real concern, I mean, it depends on what the consensus is,
mm-hmm.
so that we need to do it as soon as possible. One of the things I was going to also raise up was we were asked, Patty and I were asked at the Finance Committee meeting last night to try to get an extension for that August, at least for our station. I don't know where other things are as it relates to approving a budget, but we wanted to get on the table the possibility of us getting at least a two-week extension. So I don't know, that all kind of works together.
So if we scheduled in this meeting, say, 15 minutes to deal with the questions associated with the FY06 budget, including scheduling, anything we might need to do in terms of forming a work group, would that get us going?
Yeah, I could go with that.
On that front?
Mm-hmm.
Do other people feel that that would be appropriate and we can expand that time if needed?
Sure.
Okay, if there's no objection to that, I'll suggest that at the end. We had somebody just join? Maybe not. I heard a beep. Marnie, the director's
mm-hmm.
inspection report, how much time do you think you would like on that, and what do you want in that?
I'd be happy to just 5 minutes just for LaVarne and Patty to just give us some broad brush strokes so that it doesn't take too much time for now, and we'll get into more later, and would appreciate the hard copy or the electronic copy of whatever's been sent to the PNB. And I'd also like to add, if it's not on the agenda horizon, an election of a chair.
Yeah, well, I was getting to that.
Oh,
that's on the list. Any objection to a five-minute section on the director's inspection?
Hi, this is Jane. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Jane.
Sorry. I had a different headset that's not working.
Okay.
Hi, this is Lauren Day.
Yes.
It's like I said earlier, it's, you know, we've sent out reports and there's been ongoing discussion in the PNB concerning director inspections. So if the PNB members at this time.
LaVarne, I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll call back on my home phone.
Okay.
I'm on
the hey, Dave, it's Mark. Sorry, I'm just getting in here a little late.
Okay, great. We're talking about the agenda, and it's good timing because we're going to hold off on dealing with whether to put the director's inspection report till we hear from LaVarne, who's calling back. So the two things you had were election of a permanent chair and staffing and impact on FY06 budget. And Baruti was talking about CPB contingency plan for FY06 and also an extension of the time for LSBs getting their budgets in for FY06. And so I suggested that we schedule 15 minutes on issues related to the FY06 budget, basically getting ourselves oriented to what we're going to do and possibly hold another meeting soon or form work groups. Would that be okay for the staffing issue?
Yes.
Okay. Election of a permanent chair, how much time do we think we need on that? 10 minutes? Because we'll essentially have nominations, some discussion, and then we'll have to mail in ballots, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any objection to adding election of a permanent chair? Does anybody have any feelings about where they'd like to put it in the agenda? I'd just as soon do it immediately before the scheduling of the next meeting.
And Dave, I mean, we could even do it with setting it up somewhere. But I do think that we should. I mean, you've been pro tem for such a long time, and
yeah,
you know,
I have no problem with it. I'm just saying, do we want to do it before the meetings, the substance of the meeting, or after?
How about after? I don't know.
Okay, let's do it. We'll do it immediately before the scheduling of the next meeting. So we'll do the... Are people okay with the FY06 budget stuff after the working group reports? Okay, if there's no objection, then I'll slot that at 15 minutes after the working group budget reports. And then the last issue is the director's inspection. We're just waiting to hear from... You know, since she's going to talk about that issue, I'd just like to put that. Let's see. Do you have a suggestion, Marnie, where you'd like it?
No, I don't.
Let's do it towards the end, because I think
the whole
discussion will actually touch on a number of things, and there may be some content about that. So let's do that after the FY06 budgets and before the election of a permanent chair. And okay, so if we amend it, and hopefully we won't need the full 90 minutes for item 3, the CFO report, but if we amend it, that means the, we would approve the agenda, approve minutes, CFO report and review of May financials, 90 minutes, reports from working groups, FY06 budget issues, 15 minutes, director's inspection report, 5 minutes, election of permanent chair, 10, schedule the next meeting and adjourn. Are there any objections to that, those amendments? Okay, hearing none, then we'll adopt that, and let's go into the meeting. The first thing on the agenda are the approval of minutes. Casey sent us minutes from March 28th, June 3rd.
Excuse me, Dave?
Yes.
I know you guys have already done the roll call, but I was just wondering who's on the call.
The only person absent is Sandy Weinman.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We have everybody else, I believe.
Okay.
And Ambrose is with us as well.
Oh, okay.
So we have March 28th, June 3rd, and June 10th. And is there a motion to approve these minutes?
I move we approve the minutes.
All three sets?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any discussion? There was one point that was in June 10th that I didn't see reflected in the minutes, Casey, and that was, did we not appoint somebody to be a liaison with the Bylaws Convention Working Group who would deal with them as they were of the Governance Committee so that we would be handling the financial impact while they were doing their discussions? Lydia Brazon is the convener of that working group. I'm almost certain we asked a couple of people to be in contact with Lydia about that issue.
You know, I remember the discussion. I don't have it in my notes, and I didn't do these off of the recorded. Is anybody on this call? Does anybody remember being appointed? I remember talking about it.
This is Marnie. I'm supposed to be in that group, but I'm not like the convener or anything, but I'm here to serve.
Jane, I remember pressuring you into something.
Oh, that was
something else.
That was the working group on the financial implications of the HR.
Got it.
Yeah, but I think I'm the only member of this committee that does serve on governance.
I am too.
Oh, I'm on the bylaws working group.
That's right.
So I'd be willing. I don't think we ever came to a conclusion, unless it was that we asked Marnie to do it.
We may have asked Marnie. Maybe we don't need to approve the put that in these minutes to amend them because we're not sure on what the case was. But maybe we can just put in the minutes that we'll ask Marnie to do that. Would that be appropriate?
Okay.
And also Jane.
And Jane, because she, and I know that we had asked Lonnie to be in that mix as well.
Okay,
do you remember that, Lonnie?
We're not doing that as amendment to the minutes.
But
we're going to add, deal with that when we come to that item.
We'll do that in working groups.
So can we go ahead then to approve the minutes with that understanding?
Is there any objection to approving the minutes? Okay, hearing none, they're adopted. And the next thing is the CFO report and review of May financials. So I think I'm going to turn it over to Lonnie for the CFO report, unless Ambrose has anything he'd like to say to open it up. And
yeah.
And then we'll do the May financials once we've dealt with the issues Lonnie's raised.
I'd like to raise some preliminary questions. What I've asked Lonnie to do, because we're now past mid-July. The financials you've been looking at end in May. And I think we ought to take a look at where we stand today and take a look at the serious problems we're facing financially. And I've asked Lonnie to bring us up to date on where we are today, because there are very serious problems as I see it. And so I'd like for him to do that, and then he can respond to whatever questions you have about the May report. Lonnie?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, let me start as I usually do with the large issues and then work my way down to the smaller ones. That way we deal with the more serious stuff up front. So let me start out by saying, you know, I thought about what I'd say at this particular meeting, and I decided that I would just blurt it out. So my opening sentence would be that Pacifica is at a financial crossroads. We have a substantially different kind of financial challenge than we've had, at least in the time that I've been here. There were, for us in the last couple of years, options available to us, and we could muddle through on a number of financial challenges that we faced. This year, as we look, stand here in July, I'm not seeing as many options that we have available to us. And I'm also seeing that we have some serious financial issues. Let me get right into it. What I will be recommending is that the board, I will do a special report on Pacifica's finances, which I'll reduce to writing and send out to the board. I believe that detail has to be provided for some of the things I'll talk about today. And then I'm hoping that at the July 25th board, there can be a special agenda item to discuss our financial situation at that point. That said, let me open up and give you some idea of what I'm referring to. I've divided the financial issues into the critical, the serious, and the informational side, because a lot of what I'm talking about will require some background information, will require some discussion. So let's start with critical. On the critical list is WBAI. And I think many of us from past discussions know what I'm referring to. But for those, we can refresh our memories just briefly. WBAI in their last drive had a $400,000 shortfall against the goal they had set for themselves in that drive. That is extremely serious and has implications. A $400,000 shortfall means that the station has to either make up or plan to make up that $400,000 or look immediately toward reducing expenses. And they would not be able to rule out reductions in force for layoffs, even though that's not, of course, the preferred strategy. That's not what we want to do. The $400,000 means that when you project the cash flow that WBAI has into December, what you see, and I've just got the cash flow statement I've done my own, is that in September, WBAI would have a $250,000 shortfall. Say a deficit. Their expenses run approximately $250,000 a month. Now, that means that they would not have the operating wherewithal to run that station in the month of September. This would include doing the July mini drive that they're planning for 18th through the 30th.
What do you mean that would include?
It includes their plan to raise $300,000 or so in a mini drive that would run from the July 18th this month to the end of the month, July 30th.
Right, and if they were successful at doing that, they would still have this shortfall in September?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what makes it so serious. And they have managed to survive thus far. Remember, they need $250,000 a month. Is they, you know, they have not paid, they're behind $250,000 in terms of their financial obligation to the national office, and we're feeling that pinch here. Well, what does this mean?
Can you clarify the $250K to the national office?
They had central service bills from their drive. They had a drive, as you know. They did raise somewhere between $560,000 and $700,000. A lot of that they did not get about half of that. But a half of the $600,000 really pays the bills for 1 month. And they are in a situation where they were not able to pay the central services against that amount and certain of their other expenses, like legal. As you know, there have been a number of investigations at WBAI, a number of legal issues at WBAI. Those bills are falling due. And they come close to $50,000 alone. So you have at WBAI.
Those bills come directly to us first, right?
And they come to us first, so we see them.
And we're the ones responsible.
And we end up being responsible for the payment of those bills. Normal procedure would be that we would take care of the urgent bills and then bill the station back for the full amount, because many times bills have to be paid fairly soon. What it means for the national office and also for other stations is that $400,000 on the central service side, if you miss that target by $400,000, 20% of that is central service dollars. That means $80,000 we had planned on here at the national office will not be forthcoming. That is to say, it's not a matter of coming next week. It simply will not appear.
Lonnie, I'm sorry, can you clarify? When you say that they'll be $250K short in the fall, does that assume writing off the central service debt, or does that include paying the central service debt?
It assumes that they'll pay that central service debt will be the last thing they'll pay. That is, it assumes they will pay central services at some point. They just won't be able to afford it in September. So it will be on top of it.
So the projected shortfall that you're describing, the $80,000, is basically the and this is for the fiscal year projected, correct? Because you're going past, because if we go through August with that being the last thing they pay, then we only have the remaining month of September in this fiscal year. So $80,000 would not represent a shortfall for that month. It would represent a shortfall for this fiscal year, right?
It would be if the station misses a drive in a given month, it represents a shortfall for that month because it's instantly a. The next month they would be paying the $80,000 had the drive met its goal. The drive did not meet its goal, so they don't have to pay the $80,000. So right away it's a deficit for the national office.
And that would kick in what month? Because as of May, we're not showing it on the financials. So you're talking about kicking it in June?
Yes, in June it kicked in. That's why I'm bringing it up now.
All right, so the June financials will show a central services deficit of around $80,000 from projections for BAI.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. And the sequelae, that is what the fallout is from that, is that first there's the $80,000, and then there is the looming deficit that would occur in September. And that means you have the issue not only as a station at WBAI, but the network will have the issue of what is to be done. Some folks will say, well, maybe in October they'll have a drive, and they'll raise whatever amount of money they raise in October. But what they are not generally thinking about is that in that month of September, they'll pay virtually no bills because they won't have the cash, except for maybe payroll. They'll have to probably pay payroll. So they'll go into the drive in October in the hole, so to speak. And there is also the issue of where they will get the money to even pay payroll. That's identified. So it's a serious issue. And they are working on it, of course. The timetable, as I talked to Andrew about it, we've been emailing back and forth. And the plan mini drive is July 18th through the 30th. Unfortunately, the money that they'll receive, the $325,000, will actually be used mostly to pay August bills, and that in September, and they'll be short in August of $77,000 in August alone, and then the cash flow statement will show $250,000 in September. Okay, all of that is, of course, very unnerving. And two issues remain. What can they do that would be effective? And what's the timetable involved? The timetable involved is...
Before you do that, why don't you talk about the problems in the other stations?
Okay.
Actually, before you do that, I just want to check one number. You said a 12-day mini-drive expected to raise $325. That's $27,000 a day. Is that reasonable given their recent performance? And also, pledging $325 is not the same as raising $325. It's, you got to lop at least 20% off that. So are these numbers even attainable?
We shouldn't say anything negative about the possibility of raising it because I don't want to do anything to thwart
poison
their ability.
The well.
But I would just suggest that if they had a $400,000 problem before, they've got a $325,000 problem that they've got to overcome now.
Okay.
Wait, is that in addition to the $400,000 or is the $400,000?
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. And I had one question, if I may, before you move on, Lonnie, to the next one, because I just want to be clear on one thing. And I, the question is for Baroudi. Are you on the phone?
Yes.
Paul? Okay. Can you describe for me just quickly what the atmosphere is like there, what the local finance committee is doing, if the sense of urgency that's been conveyed here is being shared there or what?
Well, at this point, really, we're... In terms of what immediately has to be done, it's really come down to Indra and Lonnie and, you know, how they're going to handle it. I mean, the Finance Committee, basically, Indra has said that her and Lonnie are going to kind of work this out in terms of what the immediate actions are going to have to be taken in order to deal with the current situation.
Okay.
I think they're waiting. I think they want to really kind of see how drastic drastic moves have to be made with this mini drive. I mean, that's the last. They want to see how this mini drive kind of shapes up to see how, you know, what kind of real decisions have to be made. I mean, obviously, from what Lonnie's saying, something has to be done regardless of what happens with the mini drive. But I think Indra's thinking was that the mini drive was pushed up earlier. It usually takes place, if memory serves me, in August. So the mini drive was pushed up in order to kind of see what could be done. So I think that's basically where we are. I mean, the Finance Committee has really been, I mean, our concern has really been focused on what's going to have to be done in terms of 0506, because obviously the recognition is that we can't raise the money that we've done in the past. So we've got to have to make some cuts, some long-term cuts, meaning 0506, but what's going to be done for the balance of this year is still kind of,
okay,
I would say, up in the air.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Jay.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
May I say something? This is Teresa.
Okay.
This might be totally off base, but you might want to consider some actually dramatic program changes before that drive. And I might be saying this to the wrong people, but we made our changes before our last pledge drive, and although there was some discontent, it did send a message to the listeners that we were trying, whereas if you change the program after the pledge drive, then they feel it's been bait and switch. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Teresa. Lonnie, do you want to carry on?
Okay. What I'll do is I'll go through all the stations so that we deal with the big of the network as a whole. So WBA has got a problem there.
This is Jane. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wondered, does Patty have anything she wants to add to it before we move on from BAI?
She usually takes a moment to unmute herself. Patty, you there?
Yeah, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
Yep.
Oh, okay. No, I was at the Finance Committee meeting last night, and... then most of the discussion was over the CPB thing and the politics around it and everything like that, and I'm not really sure. I mean, I see the worry, and mostly Indra has to figure out how to deal with this situation there with the finances, and I'm not really I I am concerned that there seems to be a split on in the station between like people that think of it as a radio station and a financial business that has to make sure that it continues, and then other people that think of it as somewhat of a political mouthpiece or something that always goes ahead with the same picture. So, you know, until that shifts around or people really understand that it's like sink or swim now, I think that, you know, there's going to be a problem there. But it is sink or swim now. So, you know, possibly to be looking at the programming and, you know, exactly why our listenership has gone away and isn't paying might be something that people refuse to look at over and over again, and maybe now is the time to do so. But that's, you know, I'm always an alarmist about this, but that's the way, you know, I'm concerned. So that's just the way I see the picture there, and so I don't know what to do with it, but, you know, that's
Patty,
so that's what, awesome.
How many FTEs at BAI? I forgot from the report that we had the other, you know, in Berkeley. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's about 29.
29 FTEs? I thought it was higher than that.
No.
No? Okay, thanks.
If we could get back to Lonnie now, I think Ambrose would like him to circumnavigate the network. I'm eager for that. I apologize for having started the interruptions. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Just so we get the big picture, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to paint it as just a WBAI problem. That's what, for me, is most concerning. It's not just a WBAI problem, although PI is, of course, alarming. That creates, then you look at other stations. Normally what happens if one station's had a bad drive or is looking at a deficit situation, other stations are not doing as badly. They can they buoy the network up, you know, they buoy things up, and many times one station can help out another station. What's different this year is our two larger stations are having financial difficulty. And so the reserves aren't there, ports aren't there. So you go to KPFA. I've said before, KPFA is having a difficult year. They've had to go into their savings to $300,000 to balance their budget. And they are needing to look at reductions in their expenses as well. So they're not likely to have, and certainly will not have this year, any large surpluses or reserves to throw around. And that means that we have two of our largest stations having difficulty. That generally doesn't happen that way. That's why it's different this year. We look at KPFK. KPFK is doing better than most stations and will show a surplus. This fiscal, I hate to say surplus, but reserve, over and above the 1 month. About $95,000 right now on projection. To September 30th. KPFT is struggling and will not generate large reserves. And they will have to work very hard to balance their budget by September. Talked with their finance committee last night on a conference call and went through their planning process about how they think they'll end up. That I would say that they're somewhere between, you know, break even on projection and, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 negative. That doesn't mean that they'll have a deficit. It means that they'll be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 away from that 1 month they'll need at September 30th. Looking at WPFW, WPFW has a budget that is balanced. However, as we've stated before, they're looking to relocate given the fact that their lease is up. The relocation costs in the Washington area are astronomical. And that, well, they've looked at some options, and maybe some of you from W can update me, but last I heard the cost of relocation can range from $350,000 to $750,000, or they renegotiate the lease and try to stay in place. I don't know if that option is still available, but either way, they need to reduce their expenses too. You look at, where have we not gone? That gets us, we look at the national office. The impact on the national office is that with a $400,000 shortfall at WBAI, other stations not doing very well, we have a situation at the national office where, in normal times, stations may, in fact, have a drive where they may raise, I don't know, $1 million in month A. But they really don't produce those funds in the first month. It takes 3 months for most stations to actually produce the funds and have the pledges be redeemed. And then they pay their essential services. What most people do not understand, and what's particularly alarming for me, is that over the years I've been here, that means that for that 3 or 4 months, the National Office has been floating the bills, because the stations have to wait 3 months in order to be paid themselves, which means that we at the National Office have to wait 3 months to pay the bills, insurance, workers' comp, our own bills, of course, FCC, CPB kinds of bills. That stretch, that lag time, is what we can find. It's called a float. And that float, already 2 to 3 months, sometimes 4, with a station like WBAI not having a good drive, stretches to 4 or 5 months. And that is disaster. There's no way we or any other station, really, could wait 4 months to pay the bill.
What about fulfillment rates, Lonnie?
Yeah. Then, even when stations might show, for example, that they had $1 million pledged, they may have been assuming a fulfillment rate of 80 or 85%, but it may actually come in at 700, or it may come in at 75%. That difference, the difference between getting, say, $850,000 on a $1 million drive and getting a $750,000 outcome with a 75% rate is $100,000. And that's a lot of money.
And the budgets are based on not the fulfillment rate,
on pledges and fulfillment rates. That factor is taken into consideration in budgeting, what the fulfillment rate. But if the fulfillment rate does not come in at what the budgeted amount was contemplated, then you have a secret sort of deficit that can sneak up on you. You got the pledges at $1 million, but the fulfillment rate was not what you, in fact, achieved. And so the funds don't come in, and that may take 2, 3, 4 months to find out that you're not going to get the anticipated fulfillment rate. And add to this mix legal bills that are coming through WBAI, $50,000, because of the number of issues that have arisen at that station that require legal action. KPFA.
That's paid first by the National Office and then billed back?
First by us. And we're adding those, what we call the float. We have to pay the money out first, and then we're bill collectors at the National Office. We have to go to the station. You know, when the bills come in, we pay them, because many times we have to. We have to go to the stations as their funds come in 3, 4 months in the pipeline, and try to get reimbursed. That is not a tenable structure for an organization. 3-4 month float is by far too large. Now, it was okay during periods when revenues were rising and the fulfillment rates were high, and when we were seeing revenue and increased membership. Now, for 3 years, the cumulative effect has caught up with us. This is the crunch. Been flat for 3 years. Now all of that has caught up with us. It's hitting WBAI. Now, WBAI matters because there's no way we can support WBAI at $250,000. That means support the Finance Committee, we right here on this call, have to decide how to deal with that $250,000 issue. Shall stations be asked to help pay for it? Shall we look at more drastic action at WBAI to see what could be done? Shall we look at the station and say, you know, they're going to crash in September. They can't pay that bill, even assuming the $325,000. That's how serious it is. I'm looking at the cash flow statement, and I'm happy to send that along, but it's true that that means we're all impacted. Office, the stations, the network, and the ability to maintain its bills on a current basis. There is a domino effect. We've avoided it in the past because we were raising funds here at the national office. We've raised a million, 1.2 million in the last year and a half at the national office. Why? Because of that four-month float. We had to, just in order to make to meet our bills here.
How did you raise the money?
Well, what we've done, as most of you know, and you can look in the financials here that are being passed out, is we did it predominantly with large-scale mailings. We've mailed out something like, I think, 1.1 million pieces in the last 14, 15 months, and raised close a little bit over $1 million. That $1 million, given the fact that expenses are $250,000 a month here at the national office, but we've had to raise our own operating because we weren't getting paid by the stations except over that 3 or 4 month period via those mail drops.
Yeah, I actually had something I wanted to ask when we get into the details, and I do want to ask Ambrose how I'd like to proceed. But you know, I noticed that in the national office budget there was something like $102,000 in mailing services and $127,000 projected, $20,000 in subscription supplies and $30,000 projected against, I mean, those are the amounts we're spending against a budgeted amount of zero. And so I have some questions about the authorization process for that. But I don't, you know, Ambrose, there are a number, I have a number of specific questions about some things that have been said, but I don't want us to scatter into each of our specific questions at this point without knowing, because I think you have some clarity about where you want to go with this or how you want to guide it. At what point, where do we stand now, and what do you think we need to do at this point in the conversation?
What I also asked him to do was to tentatively suggest how we might address the serious problem. And I'd like for him to do that, and then we'll open it for whatever questions you have.
Can I just ask, this is Teresa, can I ask one little question for clarification? Tell me again, Lonnie, what you said the income was for home office from the 1.1 million pieces of direct mail?
Well, over the last 16 months, we think we put out 1 million pieces and raised close to $1 million.
Million. Okay, thank you.
And just to finish up the whole presentation, in addition to those cash flow issues and drive-related issues, we have capital issues. Stations in need of repair. KPFA has anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 in fiscal plan issues that at some point they may have to address.
What are those issues?
Well, as you know, at KPFA they have a restaurant which has been vacant for maybe a little over a year, and they need to rehab that space and find a use for it that hopefully will be revenue producing, but maybe could be used for meeting space. But rehab costs money. They have a foundation problem with some water in the foundation of that building that they may need to have repaired and dealt with. They're going to, you know, as they postpone repairs to the building, then those costs might go up. So we have costs for them conservatively, and this conservative might be $250,000. If we look to be ADA compliant, we may add that to the cost. We have other stations like KPFT that need some rehab work done. I've already mentioned WPFW needing to look at moving. So add that to the mix, all of which are huge cash-intensive projects. We have union contracts falling due, which means that there'll be increases on the union side. WPFW's contract, I believe, is up next month, August. WBAI is in the middle of contract negotiations. Therefore, those costs will have to be taken into consideration not only for next year, but many of these contracts may have retro components, that is, if contracts expired, the unions generally will want to get paid for the period where there was a lapse in the contract. We would have KPFK is finishing up contract negotiations as well. although we've paid out a good part of a retro at K, but it's still not yet a signed contract. KPFA is coming up, I believe, too, on its contract negotiation. That means that even though the contract's in some cases next fiscal, there may be a retro that by September 30th we may be impacted. We have, I'm always fond of mentioning PRA has a $12 million restoration problem. You know that our legacy network is sitting in our archive. And while we don't bring it up often, it's still the case that a lot of our tapes are sitting there in disrepair, if not in fact. We're losing them. That's a $12 million price tag, our archives director is saying, for restoration. And we need to address that as an issue because it is the gift. You know, it's been given us down through 56 years. Legal, I mentioned. I just want to just mention it again. Stations, WBAI, KPFA are picking up what amounts to substantial legal bills that are unbudgeted. We have FSRN under discussion, which their proposal would add $450,000 to our current budget. We have the radio, World Radio Project, Shortwave Radio Project, price tag. The conservative figure I've heard is $100,000. The Race and Nationality Initiative, finding the funds for that project, their budget sits there at $250,000 proposed. You add this up, and we have serious financial issues. Now, what to do?
Alani, may I ask one question? Does that 250 include the Spanish-speaking show?
Yeah, that's the what they proposed. What we actually do, of course, may be different, but that's
right.
What they put on the table.
You know, one thing I'd like to interject also before you go into the what to do, because I mean I'm trying and I understand what your day is doing, Dave. But if you put too much on my plate, you know, I can't eat. And there's quite a bit that's been put on here, and one of the things, I did read your report, Lonnie, and made a number of notes, and I've also gone through the financials that you sent, and had specific questions. I don't want to bog down the conversation with them, but I am a little concerned. I guess I'm kind of like, I don't know, is it Heidi that put the breadcrumbs to find a way home? To me, I kind of like to move ahead, you know, crumbs at a time, at least to some clear demarcation line. And it seems that there's some fundamental assumptions that we're falling short of. This is not the first year, for example, with BAI. And I don't know to the extent that KPFA's problem is is systematic or something that's one time. But some of these issues have been out there. So it seems to me one question we have is how to deal, certainly between now and the end of this fiscal year, with some of the problems that are confronting those immediate station concerns, and then looking at what are the assumptions that we've made that are wrong so we don't repeat them in the in the 06 budget. And then we have these larger questions about, you know, $12 million here and, you know, that much there and the other there. And it seems that I keep thinking if we throw it all together, it just becomes an impossible litany. You know what I mean?
I agree completely with that latter point. And also the earlier point about the breadcrumbs. That's why I asked. I'm marking stuff down as fast as I can. What I want is for the discussion not to scatter into a bunch of different directions, because I'm sure you've looked at some things. I've got like six or seven things that I want to do. We've now spent a half an hour on an agenda item that's slated for 90 minutes. Maybe if we could give, Lonnie, do you think in about 5 minutes you could wrap up what Ambrose alluded to, and then we can start getting down to some of the specific issues, and maybe spend about a half an hour on that, and then try and come back to
sure.
Larger questions, Mark, would that be all right with you?
That'd be great.
Okay. Can we do that?
I'm through with the laundry list. I think that the laundry list is a lot to take in. I agree. My proposal is that I will reduce these issues down into the critical, the serious, and the background information, and reduce it to writing, send it along to the board members, and then have at the July 25th call a more serious discussion with the board around what the options may be before us. Okay? So this was just by way of introduction. There will be more.
But I think Ambrose had something specific in mind that he wanted you to address. Was that is that correct,
yeah.
Ambrose?
No.
What I wanted to do was to, he can give you a couple of options that he's proposing. But what I wanted to do was to make certain that the Finance Committee first clearly understood where we stand in late July. And I wanted to have this report reduced in writing, sent to the board early next week, so that the board would be able to study it and deal with it on the 25th.
But
and with that and a couple of recommendations.
Well, I have to agree with Mark, because there's a whole lot of detailed and structure issues, and then if they do get bundled in with some longer-term things, I mean, I understand that one approach to this is to say what we really need to do is basically be thinking in a whole different league in terms of the money we need to raise.
That's
because
right.
Thinking that way creates a different set of options. But my perspective, and I don't want to dominate this conversation, incidentally, so other people pop in, but my perspective is that raising that money is like placing weight on a structure, and I have issues with placing weight on a structure that I'm not, that the more I find out about it, the more I find not only I don't know, but isn't known. I'm unclear about, as Mark says, how did we get to this point? We've been talking about WBAI for some time, and yet now we hear that we're at this crisis point. We were aware it was coming. There are a number of things in these budget numbers that I think we need to talk about, the whole set of systems on how things get authorized and monitored. To me, the fact that we're here says those systems are not functioning effectively. So I'd like us to deal with that chunk of it, and then, yes, Jane?
No, when you're done.
Okay, so I think I would find it more helpful for us to be able to get into some of these specific things, answer some of the questions about how we got to this point and what's actually happening, and figure out how we deal with those things so that if we take on, you know, considerably more money, we know that what's supposed to happen happens, and that everybody's clear on how it's working. Yes, Jane?
There's been reference made to something on the 25th. Are you talking about the 25th of July?
Yeah, there's a teleconference for the PNB.
The PNB, Monday, July 25th. Okay.
That's correct.
So the...
I think now the best thing to do is start dealing in some detail with some of the issues that have been raised for a little while. Maybe we can spend at least a half an hour on this, and then we can come back up to this sort of macro level. If that's all right with people, then I know, Mark, you said you had some issues. Do you want to raise them now?
I'll start. And I just wanted to say, because I think both are important, but it kind of reminds me, I've been married 26 years, so
you're a neophyte. I've been married 50.
I know. So you can see, you trump me. So you even know that in the course of that long period of time, you know, they're good days and they're bad, you know, and financially, as well as otherwise, let's just stick to financially. And if I'm in one of those difficult periods and I need to kind of, you know, see where my financial situation is, have I taken on more than I can chew, am I not making enough, am I spending too much, et cetera, I have to start initially by looking at what I'm doing here and now and decide, you know, if I'm going out to eat every night and, you know, 29% interest on credit cards, then I need to stop doing that. Even though I may still not make enough money to cover my ambitions, but I think one of the concerns I have is that we first look at that initial billing to make sure that everything is in order before we then say, okay, fine, once we've done all that, we're still short, and what else can we do now? So with that in mind, I'd like to start with BAI, and the major concern that I have here is that when a budget was presented, remember last year the BAI LSB was not able to agree on the approval of a budget. In part, there were two camps, essentially, one that felt that there was a need for immediate staff reductions, and the other that felt that there was not. We came up and crafted, as the PMB, a compromise measure that did not lead to staff reductions, but that did call for a number of things. First of all, it did trim somewhat revenue projections, but not that much. But it did look at some cost savings. It talked about bringing in development assistance and other things to both reduce funding days, et cetera. And then we also held out the possibility of doing a contingency budget if this failed. Now, after all of that is said and done, we're now back at a situation where, in fact, funding days are still long, the staffing issue is still here, and we're running short. So it would seem to me that the elephant in the room here is that BAI is not in a position currently to afford to pay both its rent and 29 FTEs. I just don't see how they... I think that's the problem. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but, I mean, let's save time. It seems to me that that's a problem, and if that's the problem, then we have to deal with those two things.
I agree.
Yeah, I have no disagreement.
But before we go there, I'd like to get a little more concrete in terms of numbers. So in the May financials, it shows the total income 149,000 behind. So basically against the projection, and we know that some of these projections, the budget, you know, like if I look at KPFK's month-by-month projected budget, the amounts just, they don't bear any relation to any actual amounts that come in those months. But if you look at year-to-dates, they're generally fairly close. So we went from 149,000 behind in total income, and from what I can tell, underspending. They're actually ahead of the game in salary expenses by 27,000. They were behind the game 30,000 in administrative expenses, ahead by 45,000 in programming expenses, and then behind in development by 52,000.
Hey, excuse me, I don't mean to be rude. This is Sandy. I joined the call. What's the mute sequence?
Star 6.
Thank you.
So we're already doing ahead. I mean, doing better than planned in the area of salaries, but we're way down on income. We're over on administrative.
Are you talking about K?
Talking about WBAI.
Yeah. If you turn to page 17 of the 32 page financials. That's where the BAI begins.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if it's in the reformatted version I sent out, it's page 10. But
well, I wish I'd have gotten that.
Yeah, it has every station's budget on two pages. But anyhow, so in terms of dealing with that, and I know they're dealing with it locally, but you know, if I look at this, there's, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how do we tell from these budgets what is about to hit us? Because you look at it as of May, even if we had gotten this thing, you know, 30 days ago, as a finance committee, you know there's a problem, but it's not the same as the problem we just heard. We've had signs of this. But I guess that's one that's an added question I have, which is our ability to manage these things given the way these numbers come to us.
Yeah, well, let me add to that question. And, yeah, that's the whole point of doing it this way. That many times if you look at a single month, a station looks like they're okay.
Well, those were year-to-date numbers, incidentally.
Yeah, and then you look at the year-to-date numbers for WBAI, and you see that they look to be 68,000 away from their goal, although... You know, you look up top and you see 151,000. But what the May figures don't tell you is the results of that last spring drive. And that is the point of the future amount computed at report date, where you have to put in on a forecast basis what you know has been the revenue outcome. If they lost up to that point, they were looking as though they could struggle through the fiscal. But to lose $400,000 in one drive created this crisis.